Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello and welcome to the realm of the supernatural. How the devil are you all?
Indeed. Right, just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into today's interview with
Bridget Nielsen. A babe.
Yeah, a great, great interview. Very interesting. She's got hybrid human alien children, so we get into a bit of that, and then she's obviously really into the spiritual side of stuff.
Spiritual, very spiritual lady,
meditations and all that. We touch on a bit of that as well.
Advanced civilizations and metaphysics. Oh, she gets the whole stuff.
Yeah, and we'll probably have her
into all the.
Yeah, we'll probably have her back on again at some point. Obviously, we didn't cover everything today. Now, this is a podcast day, but this is available as a video cast. So if you just go across and look at our YouTube channel, subscribe there. Doesn't cost you anything, and you know, you get to see some videos, and we will be posting videos up as and when. So yeah, that is available on there. The link to the YouTube channel will be in the show notes, or it's just Realm of the Supernatural Podcast on YouTube. You both find it easy enough.
Right. I'd like to give a shout out for a person called Donald Allhands. Who's going through a kind of a rough time at the moment. Keep your chin up, mate. You know, hope you get well soon.
Yep.
All the best from Riffraff and Macca.
Yep.
And anything you want to give us a shout, and we'll anything on the show, anything you need, mate, just give us a call.
Indeed. Yeah. So hopefully you find a little bit of solace in the podcast, like, and you know, glad to have you on board.
Absolutely.
So, you know. Like Andy said, keep your chin up, mate. So, yep. It's a poll up on the Realm of the Supernatural Hangout at the moment.
Yep.
Which was basically what we was going to do was going to maybe redo some of the older episodes that we did years ago with the shitty equipment and all the rest of it. And we put four or five up, didn't we, for now? I think Elves is winning at the moment.
Yes. Icelandic Elves is kind of running away with it at the
indeed
moment.
Indeed. But
great.
I was going to take the poll down, but I thought I'd leave it up for another week. Just so that, you know, obviously you guys listening to the podcast now can go across and leave your vote if you so wish. And obviously there's, like I said, there's five or six entries on there. Just previous episodes that we've done. If you want to hear them again, you know, in better detail, all the rest of it. Or if there's one on there that is not on there yet, just go ahead and put it on. That's not a problem. So yeah, just go across to Facebook, Realm of the Supernatural Podcast, hang out, and you'll find us there and the poll's there. So if you could do that for us, that'd be great.
Be really, really good. Thank you very much.
And then we'll get on with them shows in a couple of weeks, I guess.
I'll look forward to
start
definitely
them again.
Especially with that, because it was a great subject, wasn't it?
Yes. The only other thing was, I came up with an idea. Cause I don't know if you've seen this video on YouTube going around about this little Asian kid being fed tadpoles.
No.
Out of a cup. They're obviously still alive and just feeding them. You know, like you feed your kid like rice pudding or something. So it got me thinking, and I wanted to know what the listeners, what's the strangest thing you've eaten? And obviously we can go anywhere with that, but...
No, food.
Whatever.
Food-wisely.
This is a 18 plus podcast.
Yeah.
So what I'll do then, after this show is aired, I will put the poll up for that. Not poll, I'll put the post up for that. And then you can tell us, you know, the strangest thing you've eaten. Yeah, that'll be very interesting to know what you all got your chops around.
Because the Asians and Chinese, they eat very, very many strange things. I mean, you know, really.
Strange to us.
We wouldn't touch them, wouldn't we? We wouldn't dare or think about eating them. What they do, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. But like I say, stuff that we eat, they probably wouldn't like. So it's just weird, isn't it? How different cultures eat different things. Yeah. So that's what I mean. So it'd be interesting to find out just what the strangest thing people eat.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay, so just before we get into the interview then, let's do the reviews for the week. Okay, so the first one is from the Hillbilly Horror Stories. Obviously, most of you are aware of that, Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast. It's another paranormal estet podcast. One of our great friends runs that.
Yes, Jerry.
And he just basically said, it's quickly become one of our favourites. Sound quality was bad at the beginning, and it was, but now it's great. Give it a listen, and you'll be glad you did. And obviously, he's put your friends at the Hillbilly Horror Stories. Thank you very much, Jerry and Tracy, for that one.
I've got one from, it's called Witchiest. Or Witchiest. They say, I listen to a lot of paranormal podcasts, and this one has become my new favourite. The interplay between Lee and Andy is fabulous. I also love all the interviews. I listen to Mysterious Universes as well, and a variety of topics and discussions remind me of MU, but MU doesn't have as many interviews. Also, the presenters treat every guest with the utmost respect, whether or not they think the whole thing is a load of rubbish. Listen to this podcast, you won't be sorry. Thank you so much.
Yep.
That's brilliant.
That's fantastic, and it's
and again, we give the, all we do is we just give a platform to the our guests, don't we?
Yeah. You know,
I'm talking, we could be talking rubbish or whatever, but we come on and
going back to that flat air thing again, no, I don't want to go.
don't go over that again.
Santos
to me was amazing. He's one of my heroes, and you know, I just can't get my, around it. You know, so, but we have some great guests come on, and we just give them a platform. But they've been so lucky, though.
Yeah, so Melissa last week was fantastic, and then
Bridget
obviously
was fantastic.
You've got
Melissa,
Bridget today to listen to, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that. But any feedback about the show, you know where to find us, Facebook, email. Incidentally, the email is now supernaturalpod@gmail.com.
Okay.
And like I say, the links are all in the show notes. You know where to find them. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. We give you
Bridget Nielsen.
So you're a contactee from early life, and some of this came out later on in life. Where did you get this memory? But when was the first time you consciously recall being taken aboard a craft?
If it
was a craft.
Yeah, more so when I was in my 20s. So in my early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you remember, you can just give us like the basic details of what you saw when you was there and who you saw.
Primarily it was the Greys, and there were mantis beings too. And it was like purplish, kind of a diaphanous, translucent, not hazy quality, but it has this other realm quality to it where it almost feels dreamy, even though it wasn't a dream experience. And it was very clean, precise, nothing, I guess you could say minimalist spaceship, with nothing unnecessary. So just like lights down the hallway and lighting like the beds and not really anything else, just the beans and me and maybe some other humans.
So there was other people there?
Yeah, at various times there were other people there, yeah.
And what was the sort of ratio of gender?
It depends on the different times, because when I was a kid, it was more exploration, right, and experimentation, like with our psychic abilities and kind of babysitting in a way. So there was a lot of that, whereas when I was, before I had hit puberty, I was kind of assisting them. Like I was in a position of like helping with the program in some way or understanding what I was about to kind of like go take on. And then when I had puberty, then it was more of, okay, let's work with their eggs. Let's, you know, make the kids, like, let's do this other stuff. So along the way, it's been very different at different stages. And I would say that it's similar for other people too.
Yeah.
So was it definitely, did you go there in a physical body? Was it definitely your physical body, Bridget, or is it, your astral body?
Yeah, different in times. So I would say equal amount of times it was physical, and then the other times it was astral. There were times where it's unnecessary to take the physical. So yeah, both.
Yeah, both.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've obviously alluded to the egg taking aspect of it. When was you aware that was happening?
I was aware when I was about 14 or 15.
Okay, and was this given to you as a choice, or was this happening and then you realized later, or?
It was always, I believe that from the beginning, from the onset of incarnating here, that we're given a choice, and it's like, hey, do you want to be a part of all these random ass things, whether that's war, whether that's getting your eggs taken, whether that's love, you know? I think we've pre-chosen so much of it. It's interesting, even just on an astrological level. I just got an astrological reading from my friend that does it very precisely the old Greek way. And you can see the different star connections that I have. Those particular star lineages, you can see rising on the horizon when I was born. So it's kind of like, it's a map. Like, it was all mapped out. It was planned, and we have these connections, and it's just a matter of remembering it and then going with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's, does that take away a little the element of free will?
No, I don't think it does. I think it's, it's signed for what you're going to come down for anyway.
Well, if free will is even a thing, you know, because some people say it's an illusion anyway, don't they?
Well,
right. Well, and what level of free will? Because free will from the beginning, that was free will. You just weren't like in your body yet with this mind. So it definitely was free will upon coming down.
So I volunteered for this. That could have been anything.
You volunteered for this. Well,
there must be a reason.
We volunteered to be together. Well, do a show together.
So. Won't go that far.
Well, we would.
Aww.
I know. He's always picking on me, Bridget, but I'm used to it. I'm not bothered.
So they were the Greys then. So what? I mean, I don't know if they communicated this to you. I mean, presumably they did at some point. What was the agenda that there was conveying to you for the egg taking aspect of it?
The egg taking aspect was to perpetuate themselves, but also to perpetuate ourselves. It was kind of like this moment in time, literally, just a moment in time where that species and our species at a certain genetic moment could would then be like hybrid kids, hybrid civilizations. So that was the primary thing as far as the eggs being taken. And then there was much other stuff taught and learned along the lines of, hey, this is a crazy world. Like, you can change it. It doesn't have to go down this dark path. So there was a lot of education as well in how we can do better as humans.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously moving forward in time, then at some point you realized that you'd actually given, not given birth, I suppose technical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So at some point you realize you'd given birth to children. I mean, that must have been a shock, but what happened then? Because presumably, you can't bring them back with you. So, you know, so that's like a double whammy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's absolutely shocking. The memory of that experience and fully breastfeeding came to me one night when I was sleeping on Mount Shasta, and it was absolutely, I think above anything, that was the most profound, like, life-changing moment. Like, I woke up and I was in shock all day because I knew it. I felt it, like, actually, like, in my body. And it was just crazy and strange. And then, yeah, not being able to bring them back, that becomes, from, like, a healer's perspective, right, that becomes disassociation. I would just simply say, for, like, the other people that I've worked with, especially the women, you just kind of have to disassociate with the fact that, like, you do have these bonds and connections and they're not there, or else that longing and that, like, deep emotional wound, you can't do what you're meant to do on Earth. Mm. So that's my experience of that.
Okay. So just on the emotional side of things, because I think that's interesting, because most encounters with greys, if you will, most people say they lack emotion. And I'm not saying this is strictly true, because no one's done a study on it. But did you find that with the children? Because obviously them being part, well, at this point, must be part grey, part human. Did they almost convey more emotion than the grey scientists, if you call them that?
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did. And it was interesting because it took our emotion to actually make the program work. They couldn't, without nurture, the kids couldn't even survive. Like, they were dying. Like, it's a very common thing in the contactee world to have seen, like, these kids dying and stuff like that. So it took nurture and emotion to actually make everything work, which means they would then have to adopt that piece to continue on as an incarnate being. And whether they like it or they're not, like, they're part human, and that's going to become part of their element. But they are very different to us, and very advanced in so many ways.
Are your children still on the craft there now, Bridget? Mm-hmm. Do they stay close to the Earth still, or do they go any more places?
Yeah, they do go to other planets at times, but right now they're more interested in Earth because they've got to figure out how the heck to assimilate with us and how we operate, and just that exploration alone takes a massive education process. If that's not your, if that's literally like an alien tongue, right? Like, yeah, we are the alien tongue. And at times they do come down to Earth and, like, feel and see what it's like. They might do it incognito. There's been lots of people meet their kids in cities in different kind of populated areas, because these kids are seeing what that's like, or they'll drop them in rural areas, you know, in nature to understand. So there is actual physical interaction happening.
Okay, and you've drawn some pictures of these children, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, would it be possible to send me some of those so I can show people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, just so we get. Yeah. But they don't look too alien, do they? I mean, you can see the human in them. So they could get away with being on the Earth without too much suspicion, you think? And presumably that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was part of the point of the first ones to come, are more human-like. So that it isn't such a shock, even still to the parents, and it isn't shock probably to the other people that end up seeing them. But as things become more normalized, then it'll just, anything goes. And there are some very strange and beautiful looking hybrids that I've seen. And so those will be coming later once we're not completely freaked out.
Yeah. Well, that'll be some time yet. So,
yeah.
I don't know if they told you this, but do you get the impression that this is something that's happened on the Earth before?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
ancient past.
Yeah, you know, hybridization is us. So it's a kind of a funny thing when people get bent out of shape about this program or these other programs happening presently, when we're a product of that. We are just this like experiment. And when we realize that we're actually a very powerful experiment, I feel like that's when a lot of great things can change.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I believe obviously, do you know the planet Maldek?
Mm-hmm.
You heard about it? I mean, I go with planet Maldek. Lee won't. He just sits on the fence.
I don't know.
So again, I think that we're not human race was on Maldek, but we're aliens to this planet as well. So again, it's, you know, people say, oh, we've been here thousands of years. I believe we've been here millions and millions of years. There's different creatures.
Yeah.
So again, this is what I think the people say about Bigfoot, you know, Bigfoot, Maldek. So
yeah,
definitely.
Where do you stand on the Bigfoot? I mean, is that another cat? Because a lot of people believe that. Well, there's two schools of thought on the Bigfoot and the Giants.
Giants,
because
definitely.
You can sort of roll them into one to some extent. A lot of people think, you know, because of the Bible and the Nephilim, etc. A lot of people think that maybe they are hybrids of a sort. I mean, is that something that you feel could be possible?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I feel like there's the Giants are also like the ancient ones that are from the ancient builder race, very absolutely advanced and not necessarily related to human. Like it feels like oftentimes it's a different civilization. And my uncle, interestingly enough, is like a giant hunter, and a lot through the American Southwest, that area has tombs of the giants. They were, you know, 20, 30 feet tall, and there's these perfectly carved tombs in the sandstone that still exist from who knows when. So I definitely feel like that exists, and they've been here before. And as far as Bigfoot, they're here. And I was staying at a place last summer on the East Coast in the woods, and two of the men from the house had the same dream about this Bigfoot family that lives in the forest. They saw the exact same Bigfoot, the exact same like Bigfoot child, which I think is pretty interesting because like they're having this Bigfoot out in the woods. So I feel like there will be more interaction with them coming up, I think, more with humanity.
I think when you get shared dreams, there's something going on because it's very, very unusual, isn't it?
Yes.
There are even people that have lived together for, I was going to say too long, but people that have lived together for a long while, they don't very rarely get shared dreams. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that goes on with the Bigfoot people. I mean, I don't know why we're on Bigfoot now, but people think that it might be like a psychic sort of being. Is that something that you found with the Greys themselves?
That they were psychic?
Yeah,
more so than us, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, to the degree that it's like, wow, they can dictate your experience. Like, that's the degree of power over consciousness, which is like psychic capacity they have. So
like just on that, for an example of that, like, you know, when you can have more than one person seeing the same object but only one person can see it,
right?
Yeah
So
that's obviously some sort of control, because I mean, you can have carfuls of people, two people can see something, can be like, what's that, and everybody else just can't see it or won't or sometimes refuse to look at it,
right?
Very strange.
Yes.
That's more of a UFO thing then.
Yeah, but I think that more people have got psychic ability than some other people. I mean, I said we've been on about Bigfoot now, don't we? I mean, somebody in the same, go in the woods and they'll see Bigfoot, but the other person will see something else.
Or nothing.
Right.
Or nothing.
Yeah.
So is it that person's psychic ability, or is it, you know, is it, or is it obviously Bigfoot itself?
Yeah. It's a good question because I feel like there's a direct correlation between people's psychic ability and people's belief system orientation to be open.
Yeah,
like, because I feel like all of us actually have the capacities, we have like the systems to be fully psychic, fully telepathic, all of those things. But I think it's our belief systems and those walls that shut us down from it.
Yeah.
Well, so, limited.
Just saying that earlier on, weren't we, to Melissa there? We were just saying that a lot of these people who put up some, not, I don't want to say a psychic shield, but put up like a screen where they don't believe in something and therefore never see it and then wonder, and then think everyone else is crazy for seeing things that they don't want to see, you know?
But so, I call it the bubble, because there is some, most people, 80% of people, humanity, they live in their bubble of ease. You know, they don't want, they just see their day-to-day basis. They watch their television. They do this and that. Anything else that kind of disturbs them, some truth or something, they don't want to know, do they? They don't want to know about it.
That's the fun part right now, is because people can't hide. And it's really fun for me because, and probably for you guys too, to see these people just totally normal, like maybe even religious, and they're having these dreams or they're having experiences, and like it's undoubtable and they have to come to terms with it. So it's kind of fun because those 80% or whatever percentage we want to say, they're gonna have to come along, and it's really fun to watch.
Absolutely. So getting into more of the psychic elements of this, because I think humans, I'm not sure if where we go from here. I'm not sure if we get more and more psychic or whatever, spiritual.
We've got different views.
I think we're grounded. I think we're limited to some extent.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why there's a hybrid operation. But do you think that's part of the agenda to bring out a mass awakening or a paradigm shift in our consciousness?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. This is like, I mean, it's fun to talk about the alien thing or the extraterrestrial thing because it brings this greater context to where humanity's at right now. You know, if we're like, okay, we have been a part of these star nations like for thousands, maybe millions of years.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've come through this genetic process and we've gone through this forgetfulness and bringing that kind of mass context, especially the star context to where we're at right now, I think gives that momentum. Like the momentum's there. We're gonna go in a direction, you know, and for me it is an awakening direction.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that
when it happens. My personal belief is Bridget, I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, what's your opinion?
Ask, that would be here all day.
Yeah, I do rabble a bit, so he picks me up on it, always does. But I believe it, you know. Man on this planet has had his time, same with the dinosaurs, same with everything else, and we've had our time, and Mother Earth is a living, breathing entity, and she has to, you know, go on. You know, she can't keep her, she's been having these low vibrations for many, many years now, and I believe that, you know, it can't be let carried on. So I think man will be eventually put onto another planet, something like Freddie Flintstone, back to Barney Rubble and start all over again. It's only a classroom anyway. But that's my view anyway. It's my view.
A Martian replacement?
Yeah. Possible, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it's just a classroom. We just go on, we learn lessons, we go somewhere else, we come back down again, learn some more lessons, and then another classroom, and carry on again. So that's my take on it. But what's your... I mean, I'm quite fascinated with these... I mean, all these accounts of the reptilian people, Bridget. These reptilians. I mean, are they good? Are they? Are they different species? Are they? What's your take on? Because I mean, I find these. People's accounts of these. We've had some accounts, haven't we, on people on shows, and they've said, "Oh, that yes, some are quite positive, and then some negative." Reptilians are quite negative, so.
There's so many different kinds. You know, there's the terrestrial reptilians that are on different in the earth or near the earth's surface all over the world. There's the extraterrestrial, the ones that are like coming down, interacting. So there's a lot of different kinds, and I feel like they have a lot of different agendas. For the most part, I would say negative, but there are positive reptilians that have helped personal people that I know, like that are helping them. And there's also this opportunity for them to shift. And I'm seeing a lot more of that, where the reptilians are like, hey, you know, coming and engaging with people, and they actually want to become better. Because going back to the history of the reptilians, which many of them came from the dragon consciousness, taken that genetics and made into reptilians, and then the dragons incarnated as the reptilians and were absolutely pissed, which then has created this primal hatred for millennia. So it feels like that's changing. It feels like everything's balancing back out. But for the most part, I would say that they're negative, generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we know. And have you had direct contact with them then?
No, but I have a lot of friends that have had physical direct contact with them. Like I have, it's weird somehow I put myself in this proximity, right? Because this is before I even got into the alien thing, and it's just like my friends were abducted by surface reptilians in South America. One of my friends actually had telepathic positive benevolent communication with one, and then he physically manifested and appeared to him. And so there's been a lot of people that I've been friends with that have had contacts. I've always had telepathic, you know, contact. And I think a lot of us do, especially when we're on the negative side. And it's like this feeding energy and these other psychic things happening where it's like, oh yeah, okay, there's a reptilian. Okay. So let me shift into another energy, so we're not channeling that energy.
So what about reptilians being sort of living underground, subterranean, rather mm-hmm. than alien? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, they're there. They're here. Yeah, like I know it's a different in the Southwest, where I went on a hike in the middle of nowhere, like 100 miles from nowhere by myself, and I'm like walking through the canyon, and I'm like, this is the most, it had nothing to do with humans, it was like, get the crap out of here, you know. And so I've had experiences where I've felt presences, and where I've heard of so many people that have had experiences, but for the most part, I think that if we stay in the proper vibration, we're not going to attract them. And also, if we're telepathically like, hey, I'm aware that you're here, just like a bear in the forest, but we're just gonna coexist, okay? You know, so I think that's a good approach.
Do you think they've been here before us then, Bridget? Do you think they've been here before we came? This was over their planet, or do you think?
I feel like they were. I mean, they're a genetic experiment too, right? Yeah. So I'm not sure of the exact timing. It seems like we got here at a similar time, if I like tune into it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the reptilians, you know, I think I find them fascinating, but are they physical then? Are they or can they shift through the planes then? Are these, or is it, I mean,
I think it depends which ones, but I mean they're physical.
There's been a lot of reports of them being physical, aren't there? With the military, especially the military,
there's been quite a few reports of them having sex with people.
Well, yeah. Okay.
So don't get much more physical than that, does it?
Yeah, well, not really, no. Well, it takes the fancy, I suppose.
We won't go there.
Yeah, so Atlantis then. What's your take on Atlantis or Lemuria, Bridget?
What exactly?
Did it exist?
Did it exist?
Oh yeah. I mean, I always like to go into these things skeptical. I know it doesn't look like that anymore, but I do. And I got the opportunity to swim with dolphins for a week in the Caribbean, which is one of the main hubs of Atlantis, and actually which extends out to where you guys are.
Yeah.
And I had full recall of my time in Atlantis. And actually, when I was in Scotland just a few months ago, I had another recall of a life in Atlantis. So I'm very aware that existed, and there's so much, you know, circumstantial evidence that it's undeniable to me. And as far as Lemuria, it's existing here too. I'm in it. This is Hawaii was, you know, is one of the last physical remnants of it. And I'm still engaging with what that means. Like the actual recall of my time there and what happened there, but more of what I've has come up is the Atlantean energy.
So obviously, yeah, I believe that this is why religion today. I don't believe in religion. I think it's makes you more limited. But I think this is where the priests, you know, where they wear the frock. I think they are imitating the Atlantean priestesses at that time. So, you know, that's why the vicar, he puts on the frock. You know, he goes in and to his people.
Right.
So I think some of the Atlantis is. I definitely believe Atlantis. It definitely existed. Same with Lemuria. But again, you know, one civilization, bang, goes down. Another civilization, bang, goes down. So you're two, you know, I think this is now we're in a time of decision again, aren't we?
And your opinion is your opinion that it's going to go down again then?
No, I think it's going to be taken from us. I think it's, I'm not pessimistic. I really am. I look at the television now, I look at the world now, and it's in a state. You know, it's, people say, oh, we're advanced and we're moving forward. I think we're going backwards, but, you know, that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion, Lee? You think we're going?
I ain't got an opinion on Atlantis.
Oh, Atlantis again. You know, one day it'll be another Atlantis, but I don't think we'll be here. That's my take on it.
Fair enough.
Definitely. That's my take on it.
Go on then. So, like I said before, did your experience with these beings make you more of a spiritual person as a direct consequence of that, or do you think that was your, you know, that was also preordained almost anyway?
The latter. I mean, yeah, it was. It was just kind of like, yes, it made me more spiritual, but it was because I came in that way or wanted to experience that it happened that way. But not as much with, say, the Greys and like that, those contact experiences. I mean, the deep, beautiful experiences have been with the other extraterrestrial civilizations that I've come into contact with, and also just Earth and existence and like how powerful the potential for good is. It is there, like if we choose it, you know. And it's just like, yeah, we are being pretty bombarded by the other stuff. So that's why I'm so dedicated to the light side, because we need, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need that. No. Obviously, do you know about the spirit world and the planes of existence? You know about them, Bridget, on the different levels. You know the people. Mm-hmm. You know when you pass over, you go to different levels and whatever. Mm-hmm. Can you also these beings also go on them planes as well if they wanted to? You know, I mean, you've got this level here, but can they go on to the other levels if they wanted to?
Yeah. Depending on which one it was and where they were wanting to go, definitely so. I mean, some of the same like bandwidth, like right, if we're talking about like energy feeding, it's kind of like of the same similar bandwidth to say like earthbound spirits,
yep,
kind of frequencies. So you can kind of feel the different frequency streams and what's available there. You know, it's like going to different floors of the house and you're like, okay, who's here? And you can see that some can exist there and some don't.
Yeah, because it says that sometimes you get the craft, and also they just appear. They blink in, blink out. You know, these, mm-hmm. I think these are going through the planes. They're not going out to another planet. They are just
right.
going to another planet, or they're coming out from another plane.
Exactly. Yeah.
So interdimensional.
Interdimensional. Yeah. Well, they just go into the planes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is that where we're heading then? As human beings,
where are we headed? Or are we hopefully well?
Where are we headed? I mean, it's like it, I truly feel like that is honestly a free will decision. And to the degree, a free will decision that we may have planned, but I feel like it may be different versions for different people, depending on your beliefs, depending on your disposition and the direction your frequency is going. I feel like there are different timelines of what people are going to experience. And shift in and out of each other's realities. I truly do feel that because I can see it physically, like people that people it or can't hack it. They disappear from our realities, maybe in the form of passing away, you know, and dying. So it might not be like they just disappeared, you know, but that there are shifts, and I feel like it's very determinant of based on our energy.
Okay, cool.
So we can, I mean, I like, you know, I see spirit as well. You know, I see spirit here and there, and they pop in, pop out, and I get them from my mind, and, you know, so, anyway, I just think that man's going, he's not going the right way. I really don't, you know, we should be now. I think religion's the biggest stopper for us, because people have got this, you know, religion and this, and it's like, you know, they let the priest or the vicar think for them and tell them what to do. Instead, it should be us think with our own thoughts. We're not stopping.
I'd just say it's debt and materialism. It's the everyday grind, isn't it? You know, we don't feed ourselves anymore. We don't.
Someone's got to tell us.
You know, we almost need to go back to the start and choose a different path, because we've got to a situation now where we can't fend for ourselves. You know, if there was like some sort of nuclear war, yeah, all right, people would die during the war. Most people would die within the few weeks after the war. Once the food runs out, that'd be it.
Ooh.
You know, so
I don't think it'll be a nuclear. I don't think there will be a nuclear war, because it won't happen. It won't be allowed to happen. I think this is why you get the UFOs coming over the nuclear bunkers and bang, right. bang, zap, zap, goodbye. You know, we can war, we can kill each other, we can do damage, but you will not touch Mother Earth. You will not, you know, you're not going to do that again. You know, I don't think it'll be allowed because of, you know, it's not just affecting our planet, it's going to affect everything else out there as well. So I don't think it's going to, I think we're being watched, you know.
Yeah.
We're being watched. Yeah. Definitely watched. Totally. Not, you know, not told what to do, but it's kind of sometimes they can jump in and say, no, you're not doing that. I think we're on a leash, we're on the lead, you know, we're pulled back and no. So definitely, do you think we're being looked after then, Bridget? You know, not protected, because again, it's up to us to help us to grow and learn. Do you think we're still being looked after, maybe protected as well?
I know we're being looked after and protected. Yes. And we're just these little stupid kids on the playground being little brats, you know, and also misinformed and those such things. But I really do feel like we're being looked after, and even quite unconditionally, actually, based on, you know, our behaviors and such, which is humbling in a way. So yes, but can they like do anything and save us? Absolutely not. So that's where it's this tricky situation. But I have a question for you guys. What if it's religion and materialistic programming, what do you think would influence a person to shift out of that? Like, what do you think would have to happen to them to change?
Well,
it's got to be religion. I think if you...
No, what I think is obviously it's a debt-based society. So, I mean, if you had... so everyone became a multimillionaire overnight, potentially you'd have more time to, you know, to look at outside influences. You'd be more free, if you like. But obviously, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
No, religion itself has made man limited. To make man free again and let him think for himself and let him grow is to get rid of religion. Religion is the one that is stopping you. Because again, I think 85%, Bridget, myself, my personal belief, 85% of people who are religious and go to church and do all that stuff, I think they're afraid of dying.
Right.
That's my thing. I think they're afraid of dying. It's a fear of the unknown. Now, if that was gone and the truth came, because the truth is there, the truth's out there, you know. Of who we are and where we came from. If people knew that, then there'd be no fear of dying because they'd know the true self. They wouldn't know.
I was just going to say, why don't we know that then?
Because why would we
put ourselves in this position where we're like.
We're limited, I'm afraid. Mm. Because limited in thought, I'm afraid it's. The extraterrestrial brothers, that's what they are, because they're here to look after, but they only can intervene for a certain time or come in, but we have to learn the rest. I really do think if the kingpin to me is the Vatican, that's the kingpin, that's the one that holds it all, it's like the glue, it holds it all together. Take out the Vatican,
because you said that it's death, which I think is very astute. I agree with you. If someone had a transcendent experience to the degree that they understood that there's much more and you don't die in the way that you think, you're like gone forever and it's this horrible thing, do you think that would shift people? Because if they didn't have that fear anymore, if they knew that they were infinite, what do you think that would do?
That would definitely help the situation. The other thing on that would be astral projection. Where people, you know, become more aware in the dreams and they can do more stuff. I think that almost gives you like a gateway into the universe to some extent, because you know people can. I mean, everybody knows, don't you? You can dream, and you can dream, and if you acted out the things that happened.
Lucid dreaming.
Yeah, if you acted out the things that happened in your dream, it'd take you maybe 2 days. Yeah,
you won't want to come if you really knew what in the astral world, you know. If you really knew
what I'm saying though,
you wouldn't want to come back.
What I'm saying though is things in your dream, yeah, can last for days and days and days, and obviously you've only been asleep for 6-7 hours, whatever. So where's that time going? Because those things still happened in real time in your dream. They weren't on, like, you know, you weren't watching your dream and it was like everyone was going, you know what I mean? So those things happened in real time in your dream. So where did them hours go?
Because time is not real. Well, I'm a Bridget can answer, but
timing is an illusion.
Time is
man
made, it doesn't exist.
Right. But you've still only physically been asleep for units of time, six. So, I mean, where's that time going?
Like you said, time's an illusion, so it's like we're the perceiver of, linearity. But in those realms, especially in like the dream realm, right, which would be a higher realm, there is no time, which is fun, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to start, I think, for people. I think that's a big one, waking people up.
That's playtime once you're asleep.
That sounds scary.
Your body goes, well, your body, you know, it's just a machine, but it's a good one. It's a very, very good machine. Fantastic piece of equipment. But you, the real you, the pilot, because you actually controlling this body, you're the pilot. So the pilot goes off for a rest in the playroom, which is the astral realm. Mm.
Yeah, but then our bodies are so, engineered for this planet.
Well, for this frequency.
It becomes almost just orbiting the planet, becomes a chore on the human body. Mm. You know what I mean? So we are limited. I mean, we were talking about this earlier again, but when we get, you know, our consciousness gets uploaded into a computer and we become artificial intelligence. Maybe that's another step, but then if everyone goes that way, who looks after the computers, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
it's a weird one.
That's what they would like, but it won't happen.
So nope.
This is what the controllers would like us to be controlled. I don't think that'll be allowed to happen. That's my take on it.
So you'd have to like 10 humans left on the planet operating all these servers and that.
they're trying it now. I mean, but look at people now, and they all you got to do is look at the television, then you'll see mankind. See what's on it, Bridget. It's just, you've got these game shows, you've got all these, you've got the soaps, you've got these. I don't know, and it's
cookery
all over
programs, but they're good.
Yeah.
See, there starts to become this moment where the separation from the realities, it's not. Ignorance. It's not like I'm not looking at that. It just becomes like a literal different frequency. Like I grew up in a very religious Mormons, right? So like one of the most devout entrenched religions on earth, and that worlds, like not that I was a part of it, but like I had owned it, and so those just like those. How to figure that out was so up. And like, since I've left that actual physical area, it's not even a concept. Like, I forget that people even have religion. Like, I've forgotten. And I see that in other people around. Like, it's not even a concept. So it's interesting. It's kind of like different locations have different frequencies of different cultural, you know, imprints and narratives that, they're like different planets. Like you go to these different places and it's a different planet with a completely different culture. So it's interesting that it'll be interesting to see how that then manifests into the future of a different world or not. And
if you get a chance. So you don't see an alien invasion anytime soon, dropping bombs everywhere then?
No,
not by really. Maybe by the US government, but
No. Well, that's been tried. Didn't Barack Obama tried one? Was it? What was that one? The fake one? The fake alien invasion that never came off? I don't think. It won't happen. I mean, they can war and do one thing and that, but I don't think they'll be allowed. It's children's stuff.
I think that's it. I think we're in a rut now, and I think this is it. Till doomsday.
I think it's. And I'm looking positive, even though I'm. Yeah, I'm saying mankind has gone backwards, which the half mankind has gone backwards. But I'm still really positive because I know that, you know, we'll just...
Well, you can say that, but then you've got medicine and stuff. We're living longer.
Oh. Yeah. So, yeah. No. For me, it's just, it's all okay. I mean, it's like we all... as long as... what I'm meant to do, that's all I can do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone does what they know they need to do. That would actually be enough.
Well, let's have you tell us a little bit about what you do now, because I think, you know, people will be interested in finding out more.
I mean, I've watched some of your videos as well, Bridget, fantastic. Well, I'm into chakras and they're amazing, and so you know, I tried meditation, but it don't work for me. I do try. I do. So, when I get time.
Meditation is hard. Very, very challenging. That mind of ours. What do I do? I am helping in this process of reminding people who they are, reminding them of the light, and motivating them through the chaos, I guess, in summation. But I also am introducing people to these higher frequencies. So whether that's like in person, and I do retreats and take people to these higher frequency places and then put them together and put them in these situations with food and with each other that are just really, really high, so that they can experience what the world could be like if we chose so. So I do that. And I love the UK. Like, I come there usually every year because I like it so much. But not this year, but next year. Working with people on their contact experiences or helping them with whatever healing and blocks that they need to move through so that they can be the freaking bright star they came here to be and do what they came here to do so that they can have that impact radiate out and help Earth.
Very cool.
There's everybody. So these groups you train in that, Bridget, does everybody experience the frequencies or does some?
Oh yeah.
Everybody?
Oh yeah. Like most, I mean, I would say at least we could ask them. I mean, at least 80% of the people that come to the groups, I would say everyone, but yeah. It's just like absolutely like life changing. And then it's one of those things that, wasn't even real, you know, that kind of feeling, but because they had more permanent shifts, it is, you know, I've got, a lot of people, let's see, just in the past, like we just had our Hawaii adventure. I just did an online course. And out of just those, I guess, 40 or 50 people that I was working with over the past month, 5 of them have quit their jobs. Like they're 9-to-5 jobs and they're moving in the direction of like what they love to do and like completely changing their lives. Like, and the job one's a huge one. And so,
yeah.
So I'm like, yes, I'm like, I've got 5 job quitters in a month. That's great. You know? So it is real time stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on the way.
Yep. Both are.
Yeah.
Quit our job. I wish.
But no, it is. I mean, like I say, mortgage is a death grip anyway, so it's getting out of that, isn't it? That's the thing.
I know, getting ahead, right?
Yeah,
getting out of the rat race, isn't it?
Well,
we try now. You see, this is why we got the show, because we try and get, I'd say, amazing people like yourself, Bridget. People come on. We try and, you know, this show goes out all over the place, so it's just some way to watch it and say, yeah, definitely, it's just made some people think and. Then do the research, you know. That's what we do. We try and get this truth information out there, don't we?
That meditation, though, I think there's a lot of benefits from it, but I think it's very difficult. Yeah,
it's hard.
Which means that there's something really there.
Yeah, if people,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. If people are willing to spend that much time doing it, there's got to be.
Let me get this right now. Is it contemplation, visualization, then meditation? Is that right? Is it that order? Contemplate, then visualize, on the meditate.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, contemplation, visualize. I can't even say that. Contemplation, visualization, meditation. And you meditate on that, what you visualize. I think that's, if I get that right.
Nice.
So it's I've tried it before, and just trying to hold that one thought, you know, that thought is hard, you know, with thoughts racing through your mind and other days.
Well, I think that's stuff. That's when you realize that your mind's not your own.
Well, which means that you've got a wild beast in there that needs a lot of work. And I've done, meditation has been challenging for me. So I did, I like immersive things where I just throw myself into the deep end. And I did a Vipassana. Have you guys heard of Vipassana?
Nope.
It's a 10-day meditation retreat. It's on donation, so it's free. And you can go and stay, and they feed you. And, you know, it's all around the world. They have them all around the world. And it's, you meditate for anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day, and you don't talk. And
that's,
so...
discipline.
That was my first meditation, and I tell you, it was absolutely profound, and like the amount of energy and like clairvoyance and like stuff that turned on was extraordinary. And by the end, my brain had changed, like your actual brain, just like the brainwave states and the way of perceiving and not thinking just really takes over, and it was amazing. And then it was like, okay, how do you come back into the real world? So it's like, it's possible to get to those points, but then how do you stay in that, you know, silent mind presence on an everyday basis? That's the real work, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So do you think, just on that then, just in closing, do you think that's why children are more, obviously children are more susceptible to seeing ghosts, these kind of things. Do you think that's because their minds are operating at a different frequency when they can't come into the world without all the outside influence on it for that short
period?
Yeah.
Definitely. All the conditions, energetic. I mean, because all of the conditions that we have, all the programs do have an energetic component to them. And so, yeah, they haven't had that yet. And so they get to freely explore, and they're present, you know, and they play and they're open. And those are the things that happens when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, to get to school, and then once you get to the school, then it's the teachers say, "Oh, you know, obey the bell and do this and that's it."
But can you imagine like being like 33 year old like I am? I mean, can you imagine coming home and just getting Lego out and starting playing with Lego? just getting coloring book out and start coloring. I mean, actually, there is adult coloring books now, so
is there?
Yeah, but it's just a weird.
I think that
thing,
we should do that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
why don't we? Why don't we? Because we're like taught we have to go get the
conditioned not to,
the telly, and it's like, what? I want to play Legos.
Yeah, your friends come round and you're like, I think you're nuts anyway, so mm-hmm. Won't make any difference, I suppose.
I remember when I was little, I must have been about 5 or 6, and I was in the bedroom, can you remember that plasticine stuff? Did you know that with that plasticine? I only saw faces on the wall and I was really friendly. And I used to make them a sausage. You know, do you want fish cake and chips? And I used to make them, you know, with this. And they used to laugh at me, you know. And there were just faces on. I didn't see the body. I just saw the faces, like on the wall. And I used to interact with them. But as soon as I think I got to school and that, just, you know, I think it was, again, it's just conditioning, isn't it?
And that's what we do. And the medication.
I did have later on I had medication because... It got that bit of hand, didn't it? Yeah. I saw negative outlines. Yeah, they jumped me, but that's another story anyway.
Oh wow!
But it is, it's great. But I mean, I still see spirit now, and I talk to spirit like that a few times. So I'm not nutty.
Well, no.
Awesome. That's awesome.
On that bombshell, but I think if you want to tell people where they can find you before we.
Find me on my website, BridgetNielsen.com. I'm sure you'll have the spelling somewhere. And YouTube is my primary hangout spot, but of course Facebook and Instagram and all those places, and then find me around the world. I'll be back in the UK next summer, so
sweet.
Whereabouts are you next summer? Whereabouts in the UK are you, Bridget, next summer?
Well, I 2 years ago, I totally explored Ireland and then parts of England. And then this year I did not all of Scotland, but a lot of Scotland and England again. So yeah. I think I probably will just go to Glastonbury and then the Crop Circles and Stonehenge and do that. Avebury, just kind of stick in there. I might not do any more than that. I want to go to the Bosnian pyramids in Bosnia and then possibly Iceland. So I might just... But it's I need a Glastonbury, guys.
Yeah. Glastonbury is just amazing. I went there once. It just... Energy's there.
I want to go to Iceland.
Amazing place, you know.
It is.
I want to go to Iceland and look for the fairies and the elves.
Yes!
The man that show themselves to you.
They will.
You don't believe.
No, I do. I've seen one.
Of course you
have. You've seen one?
Yeah, I've seen a fairy, yeah.
How was that?
It was, altogether frightening.
What did it look like and where?
It started out as human and then turned to some sort of gremlin creature. So... Yeah.
God, will be telling me, of course.
It was more shocking than anything. Obviously, it's out of the norm.
Yeah.
But.
Wow, that's awesome.
So Iceland would be for me.
I'd love to go to Iceland.
I think it's Iceland where you can see that fault line as well.
We was in we went to Avonby last year, didn't we, with Maria Wheatley. Maria, fantastic, lovely lady. Would we go to Avebury, Stonehenge? We went there as well, didn't we?
That Barrow thing.
Oh, Barrow. The Barrow. Near Silbury Hill.
Yes.
Silbury Hill. Yeah, it was all around that area. It's fantastic there.
But you guys have got great, great stuff if you want to go up into Scotland.
Yeah.
Have you been up there?
Yeah. No? Well, I went for a night, but never to be spoken about.
there's amazing things. The stone circles. Oh my gosh, yeah. It's powerful. And even up by, because I was with my friends in, like, up, let's see, in Wales, there's that national park that's, like, ridiculously amazing. Do you know which one that is? They filmed movies there.
Snowdon? Brecon Beacons or something, is it that way?
Isn't it Snowdon? Snowdonia.
Snowdonia.
Yeah, Snowdonia. Snowdonia.
Snowdonia. Yeah.
Near Snowdonia, I went to a broken stone circle, like, up in the middle of nowhere, and it was a profound experience. And then up by you guys, there's, like, the Isle of Arran, and they have really amazing stone circles there. So there's some fun things to explore where you guys are.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I went to a stone circle in the lakes as well.
Did you?
Yeah, I nearly died getting there, because it was like that all the way. It was like...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think with Stonehenge, they have...
I should have had the bear when I got back.
It, haven't they, really? They've destroyed Stone. The energy's gone from there. It's just terrible what they've done now.
Oh, I don't know. I still think you feel... I don't know if it's just because... Like, you know when you go to... like we spoke about before, about like going to an old prison or... right. You know, like a castle with a dungeon, that kind of thing.
You'll still get the residual energy.
You get the feeling, don't you? But I think... Right. I don't know if that's more in your mind because you know what it was used for, you know? I don't know if you went in there blindfolded and they said, this is the kitchen, and you'd probably not feel that. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I've got to try that.
Funny kitchen.
Try that. But I think it's the same as stone circles. You go there and you do feel strange.
Yeah. It's amazing. Even like the most amazing thing to me has been that they can be broken and like, no, I mean, there's just remnants. Like, it's not even, I'm like, this isn't operational. And then I like step in and I'm like, whoa. And I can, like, totally, depending on which one, some I don't feel. But, like, most of them, even if they're broken, still have a really potent energy. And I'm like, dang, I wonder what they would have been like in their heyday of, geez, right? Yeah.
To say that the energy's underground anyway, the vortex is underground. You know, mm-hmm. obviously they were conducted to bring it up. So the energy's right. still
it's
there.
The acoustics
still
is, the, yeah. is the key, I think, to all that. Like, yeah, it was on about
Maria was on about that.
Vibration
and
stuff, yeah.
With the energy, the wells of vortex is down there. Just bring them up to, you know, again, it's magic.
Totally.
Totally
as
magic.
As above, so below.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, same with the pyramids. They have a vortices, is it?
Yep.
They're healing. I think the pyramids are healing places as well. You can be, you know... Definitely healing places.
Absolutely.
Well, Napoleon tried it, but he ended up running out, didn't he?
He didn't like the energies of Napoleon. He can't meditate.
No. He didn't like the energies.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Today.
Oh, thanks so much, Andy and Lee. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bridget. You've been amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was great talking to you guys.
We've got to talk again. We've definitely got to talk again. You know,
sounds great.
What's happening?
Yeah. All right, sounds great.
And then if you do have it, like...
if you have a retreat, then me and Lee will pop.
Nah, I couldn't last 2 minutes trying to
you'd
meditate.
You'd be fine.
What, without talking?
What? Just whisper.
Yeah, well, they can't even whisper, can you?
Well, they will, you would do.
Cheers, then.
Thank you, Bridget.
Bye,
cheers. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.